Self-Abandonment to Divine Providence by Father J.P. de Caussade. Continuing Book 2, Chapter 1, Section 5. The state of self-abandonment and pure faith gives the soul more merit than the most striking good works. There are many saints whom God raises up for the salvation of souls, and from whose countenance he causes rays to proceed which enlighten the feeblest souls. Such were the prophets and apostles, and indeed such are all the saints, when God chooses to place them, as it were, in a candlestick. There always will be, as there always have been, saints like these, as well as an infinite number of others in the church, who are hidden, who, being intended to shine only in heaven, send forth no light in this life, but live and die in profound obscurity. Section 6. The state of self-abandonment contains the merit of all other particular spiritual operations. Self-abandonment in the heart includes all possible ways of serving God, for one's own being is given up to the good pleasure of God, and the transport caused by pure love covers the whole field of operations of God's good pleasure. Thus the soul at every moment exercises an infinite self-abandonment, and all possible qualities and manners of serving God are included in its virtue. It is not the business of the soul to determine the particular matter of the submission it owes to God. Its sole business is to be ready for everything, and to submit to everything. There lies the essence of self-abandonment. That is what God demands of the soul. The free self-offering that he asks of the heart consists of abnegation, obedience, and love. The rest is his business. Whether the soul takes pains to fulfill the duty of its state of life, or follows with sweetness an attraction inspired by God, or peacefully submits to the impressions of grace on its body and soul, is no matter. In all, it exercises in the depth of the heart one and the same general act of self-abandonment. This act is not in the least limited by the term of the soul's activity and by the special divine order which appear at the moment, but has in its depths all the merit and all the efficacy that a sincerely good will always has when the effect is outside its control. What the soul has wished to do is taken as done before God. If the good pleasure of God sets limits to our exercise of our particular faculties, he puts none on the exercise of the will. The good pleasure of God, the being and essence of God, are the object of the will, and through the soul's exercise of love, God unites himself to it without limit of mode or measure. If in a particular case this love is directed in the concrete to the exercise of this or that particular faculty, it means that the will of God also directs itself to that particular object, and that God's will, as it were, foreshortens itself in the present moment, thus passing into the faculties, and thence into the heart. Finding the heart pure and resigned, without limit or reserve, God's will communicates itself fully on account of the heart's infinite capacity, actuated by the virtue of love, which, having emptied itself of everything else, has made it capable of receiving God. O holy detachment! It is this that makes room for God. O purity! O blessed annihilation! O submission without reserve! This is what attracts God into the depth of the heart. Let my faculties be what they will. Thou, Lord, art all my good. Do what thou wilt with this little creature. All belongs to thee. All indeed is thee, from thee, and for thee. I have nothing more to say to it or to do. Not a single moment of my life is of my own ordering. All belongs to thee. I have neither to add nor subtract, to inquire or reflect. sanctity, perfection, salvation, direction, mortification is all thy affair, Lord. Mine to be content with thee, and to choose for myself no action or condition, but to leave all to thy good pleasure. Section 7. All souls are called to the enjoyment of the infinite benefits of this state. It is then self-abandonment that I preach, O God, and no particular state of life. I love all the states in which thy grace places souls without any personal preference for one over another. I teach all souls a general means of arriving at that state which thou wilt assign to them. All that I ask from them is the will to abandon themselves to thy leading. Thou wilt make them arrive infallibly at what is best for them. I preach faith to them, self-abandonment, confidence, and faith. The will to be the subject and instrument of the divine action, and to believe that at every moment and in all things, this action is simultaneously applied according to the state of the soul's goodwill. That is the faith I preach. It is not a special state of faith and pure love, but a general state by which all souls can find God under the different ways in which he clothes himself and can receive the divine form which his grace has prepared for them. I am speaking now to all kinds of souls. My heart's true instinct is to belong to everyone, to announce to all the secret of the gospel, and make myself all things to all men. In this disposition of mind, I consider it a duty, which I obey without difficulty, to weep with those who weep, to rejoice with those who are in joy, to talk with the simple in their own language, and to make use of more learned and careful terms with savants. I wish to make all men see that they can aspire, not indeed to the same special favors of certain others, but to the same love, the same self-abandonment, the same God, the same work for him, and consequently, all without distinction, to an eminent sanctity. What are called extraordinary and privileged graces are so called solely because there are few souls faithful enough to be worthy to receive them. This will be seen clearly on the day of judgment. It will, alas, be seen on that day that it was not in consequence of any reserve on God's part that the majority of souls were deprived of this divine largesse, but solely through their own fault. What an abundance of good would have been poured into their bosoms had they made a complete and constant submission of their goodwill to God. The same reasoning applies to the divine action as to Jesus. If those who had neither confidence in him nor respect for him did not receive the favors which he offered to everyone, they had only their own evil dispositions to thank. All, it is true, cannot aspire to the same sublime states, to the same gifts or degrees of excellence. But if all, faithful to grace, corresponded each according to his measure, all would be content, because all would arrive at a point of excellence and of God's favor that would fully satisfy their desires. They would be content both in the realm of nature and that of grace, for nature and grace are indistinguishable in the size which the desire of this precious union with God causes to rise from the depth of the heart. Section 8. All the riches of grace are the fruit of purity of heart and of perfect self-abandonment. He, therefore, who wishes to enjoy the abundance of all goods has but one thing to do: to purify his heart, to detach himself from creatures, and abandon himself entirely to God. In this purity and this abandonment, he will find everything. Let others, Lord, ask all sorts of gifts from thee, multiplying their words and their prayers. I will ask one gift only, and I have only this one prayer to make to thee. Give me a pure heart. O man of pure heart, how happy you are! You see God in your heart through the liveliness of your faith. You see Him in everything and at every moment, working within you and without. You are in all things His subject and His instrument. He leads you in everything and to everything. Often you do not think about it, but He thinks for you. It is sufficient that you should desire what happens and ought to happen to you by His command. He knows how to prepare you for it. In your salutary blindness, you hunt about to discover this desire in yourself, and you cannot see it. He sees it well enough. But how simple you are! Do you not know what a well-disposed heart is? It is nothing but a heart where God is found. Seeing His own intentions in such a heart, God knows that it will always remain submissive to His orders. At the same time, He knows that you do not know what is good for you, and He makes it His business to give it to you. He does not mind disappointing you. You thought you were going eastwards. He takes you to the west. You are on the point of striking something dangerous. He turns the rudder and brings you safe to port. Without chart or course, knowing nothing of wind or tide, all your voyages are successful. A good will, a pure heart. How rightly did Jesus place them among the Beatitudes? What greater happiness than to possess God and be possessed by Him? The soul sleeps peacefully on the breast of Providence, playing with the divine wisdom like an innocent child, without anxiety about the journey, which continues without interruption, and in spite of rocks and pirates and continual storms, pursues its even way. This has been taken from Self-Abandonment to Divine Providence by Father J.P. de Cassade, S.J., and translated by Algar Thorold. Copyright 1959 by Burns, Oates & Washburn Limited, and published by Tan Books. For more information, call Tan at 1-800-437-5876, or find them on the web at www.tanbooks.com.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature. Right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.